We've heard stories of baby Bigfoot throwing rocks at houses and all kinds of things. I mean, there's something going on. If you had to estimate how many of these creatures might be roaming just the United States region, mm-hmm. North America, what would you say? Right. A couple thousand, maybe?
Yeah, I think tops. I think that they must be very, very rare and dispersed throughout their habitat with large home ranges and not significant concentrations by any means. I mean, the footprint evidence doesn't seem to support that. It suggests, you know, no more than a handful of individuals in quite a large area, you know, 1,000 square miles perhaps. But you know, obviously we're guessing. They're educated guesses based on the implications of the amount of footprint evidence that we have and the frequency of encounters, reports of sightings and encounters. But I think given the elusiveness and the reclusiveness of these things, they must be very, very few in number.
Where would you rate them in terms of intelligence? We've got, you know, chimpanzees, apes, we've got human beings. Would you put Sasquatch in the middle? Are they up there on the higher plane of intelligence? Where do you think they are?
Yeah, there's a lot of discussion, and sometimes it's not based on real objective experiences, which makes it difficult. Some individuals have had very subjective personal experiences that cause them to conclude that they are very human-like in their intelligence, or as you say, even existing on something of a higher plane of existence with extrasensory perception and the ability to communicate telepathically and so forth. My own personal experience, and that's the only thing that I can base my conclusions on at this point, in the absence of more objective evidence on the part of people who think that way, the evidence doesn't suggest something that human-like. You know, when the genus Homo, of which we belong, we're one mm-hmm. species, when it first emerged 2.5 million years ago with the earliest species of Homo, like Homo habilis and Homo rudolfensis and so forth, the fossil record of skeletal remains was also accompanied by archaeological remains, the use of tools, stone tools that have persisted in the archaeological record, and other even more complex and sophisticated tools as the evolution of the human ancestry progressed. And with Sasquatch, you know, we don't have any evidence of repeated tool use other than the types of things that you might see in the behavioral repertoire of other great apes, the opportunistic brandishing of sticks or throwing of stones. They don't seem to have permanent shelters other than occasional nests that are reported by some witnesses, you know, similar to the type of vegetation nests that gorillas would make on the ground or chimpanzees up in the trees and so on. And so I'd have to say that the evidence for me points to something that's on par with a great ape. Now, there certainly is some room between the brain size and correlated intelligence of a chimpanzee or a gorilla orangutan sure. and modern humans. And so, you know, it could fall somewhere in between there, maybe a little smarter than a gorilla or a chimpanzee. But honestly, I haven't seen any evidence to really suggest that. All their behaviors can readily find a correlate amongst those that have been reported for other primates, other great apes.
And I'll tell you, Jeffrey, what I find fascinating, I don't hear many stories of these creatures, these purported creatures, being violent, attacking human beings. They don't seem to do that.
Right. Well, yes, I think by far and away that seems to be the case. And it's interesting, the very few reports that the historical reports where such behavior is indicated, it's usually a case of the humans showing aggression first, mm-hmm. taking shots at them, you know, like so the apes of Ape Canyon, the Mount St. Helens, the miners shot at one and potentially possibly killed one. The Roosevelt story story of Bauman up in the Bitterroot Mountains. They took shots at this creature that interloped into their camp and claimed that they hit it at one point, given the screams that it emitted at the time. And so, that type of behavior isn't surprising really at all. But then having said that, there have been some reports, Native Americans have traditions of them snatching children on occasion. And, the whole Tsonaqua tradition is that of a cannibal giantess that snatches up wayward children who are out past their curfew or in the woods alone and pitching them into a basket on her back and taking them home for supper, kind of like Hansel and Gretel. And they often escape. Usually they escape. But, one of my close friends here that's a tribal member here in Idaho grew up down in Nevada, and they had stories of infants being snatched from the teepees during extremely hard winters. It may sound like a just-so story, but yet recently we've learned of documented cases in Africa where the drought conditions have driven the chimpanzee populations there to seek food in perhaps less conventional ways, and that's included snatching human children. And there was a period of about 7 months when there were 12 reports of human children being snatched by chimpanzees and killed and partially eaten. So it's interesting. I mean, I find that fascinating. It's a very unfortunate.
We know chimpanzees can be very violent.
Absolutely, absolutely. And so an animal of this size, under stressful conditions, may seek food wherever it's available. And if it's a little bundle of a child, then that's not out of the question, given the precedent that we have in other great apes' behavior. So these native traditions may actually be based on an incident, maybe a rare one, hopefully, presumably, but yet it was obviously traumatic enough that it became ingrained in their traditional stories and oral folklore.
You're a scientist. You're an anthropologist. You wrote a book called Sasquatch Legend Meets Science. What did that do for the field?
Well, my hope was that it would lay out sort of a baseline of what we know within a scientific context. I mean, what is the framework? For example, the instance that we just talked about, can we play some of the behaviors that have been attributed to Sasquatch, some which seem to be odd and out of place for a primate, like living in a temperate climate or eating fish, which had never been reported for great apes until just a couple of years ago. Those types of things. Can we place them in a context and evaluate that evidence in an objective fashion? Is there an ecological context? Is there a possible body of evidence, of objective evidence in the form of footprints and hair that point to a consistent but as yet unrecognized entity out there in the environment? And I must say that I've found that it's been a very useful tool with my colleagues and with agency personnel. We've taken gone to great pains to establish networks and contacts with U.S. Fish and Wildlife agents and foresters and state game and fish personnel, and the book has been a very good tool to introduce them to the objective evidence that is there.